Some of the nation's most senior law enforcement officials have called the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol domestic terrorism. But what the federal government considers its most serious domestic threats has evolved over time, raising questions about when serious labels like terrorist should be used. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson reports on a case from long ago, set to go to trial this year, that will put those questions to a test.
In 2006, then-Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez walked up to a podium at the Justice Department in Washington, D.C.
Good afternoon.
Where he proceeded to lay out the charges against a Pacific Northwest-based cell of animal rights and environmental extremists.
The indictment tells a story of 4.5 years of arson, vandalism, violence, and destruction claimed to have been executed on behalf of the Animal Liberation Front, or Earth Liberation Front, extremist movements known to support acts of domestic terrorism.
Though no one died, 18 people were indicted as part of a conspiracy that caused millions of dollars in damages across 5 Western states during the mid to late 90s.
Obviously, I'm not going to talk about the substance of anything in my case, but pretty much everything is open game other than that.
That's Joseph Deeby, one of those charged by the government for crimes in several states. In Oregon, prosecutors say Deeby helped destroy a slaughterhouse that sold horse meat. Deeby was ultimately arrested in 2018. He's pleaded not guilty, and he's adamant he's not a terrorist.
This case sort of exemplifies the government's, like, this whole hyperbole about terrorism and, you know, hippies being terrorists. That's rubbish.
Deeby's case comes as the country debates what is and is not considered domestic terrorism, a debate that mirrors many of the country's divisions. The Trump years saw a dramatic unraveling of norms. Far-right elements, once considered fringe or extreme, suddenly seem to have the embrace of the presidency. Many of those forces seem to converge on January 6th with the storming of the U.S. Capitol. It was an event senior law enforcement would come to label as a clear act of domestic terror.
We're seeing a little bit more of a shift, I think, among the population about what we do think of as terrorism.
Mary McCord is a former acting attorney general for national security at the Department of Justice. She says, as we recalibrate the definition of domestic terrorism, it's hard to equate torching an empty building with the deadly hate crimes of recent years. Instances like mass shootings at a Walmart in El Paso and a synagogue in Pittsburgh
that are clearly aimed at people to kill people and to make other people in fear of being killed so that they will feel intimidated and coerced and push government policy into an anti-immigrant, anti-Semitic, anti-people of color policies.
McCord says the most deadly concern is far-right white supremacists. In fact, FBI Director Christopher Wray said as much in March while testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We elevated racially and ethnically motivated violent extremism to our highest threat priority, on the same level with ISIS and homegrown violent extremists, where it remains to this day.
So where does that leave the case of Joseph Deeby? Federal authorities still consider him a domestic terrorist, despite his case falling outside the country's most urgent threats. Just before Deeby was indicted in 2006, he fled the country. FBI wanted posters offered a $50,000 reward and noted Deeby should be considered armed and dangerous. For 12 years, he evaded capture, living mostly in Syria and Russia before he was arrested in 2018 while traveling through Cuba.
I'm not saying he couldn't be convicted. He, of course, can be.
Matt Schindler is Deeby's attorney. He says calling Joseph Deeby a domestic terrorist goes too far.
When we apply this label terrorism, it's almost as though we're saying to the government, okay, you have carte blanche to use every asset and every resource and endless amounts of money without any real critical thought applied to that decision.
In January, after more than 2 years in pretrial custody, Deeby was released from a Portland jail. He now lives with family in Seattle and wears a GPS ankle bracelet. If convicted, the federal charges he faces could mean decades in prison. It's made him reflective about events from, as he puts it, 3 lifetimes ago.
Well, certainly people change over time.
Though what hasn't changed for him is a desire to protect the environment. And without elaborating, Deeby acknowledged that today he wouldn't employ some of the same methods.
I feel like a lot of it back then was quite confrontational and probably not very productive.
Meanwhile, Deeby's lawyer says the case isn't a priority for the government like it once was. In fact, the federal prosecutor assigned to it for the last several years has been moved. That prosecutor is now working on cases from the January 6th riot. For NPR News, I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.